Welcome to the West Ham Way USA. I'm your co-host Tony over in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the man, the myth, the legend is back, my buddy Brawley on the other side in St. Louis, Missouri. What's going on, man?
What's up? It's been a while. I'm happy to be here. It's been a while since me and you got to talk face to face, so I'm excited to be back, and I'm not really that excited to talk about West Ham, but here we are.
I had to beg him to come on. I said, man, can you please try to find at least maybe a half hour, 45 minutes for me tonight so we can get a podcast right after the Liverpool game for our listeners.
Yep, and it's, what, 5:30 p.m. Monday Central USA time. I spent all day in St. Louis at the pub watching the game, and now I just got back home and I've got to rush off to a family dinner in about an hour and a half, so we'll have to make this somewhat brief.
As much as I appreciate Bradley, he did a fantastic job last week filling in because we haven't put out a podcast in almost 2 months. It was crazy. Crazy busy. Bradley filled in last week because I really felt like we needed to get one out. But your two boys are back, and we're going to talk some West Ham. A little bit about the state of the club, a little bit of what we've been up to, and just talk about where we go from here. Lately, since it has been 2 months, what have you been up to? Obviously, since we haven't done a podcast, and maybe it's we're the jinx.
We might be. You never know. But first and foremost, I do want to thank Brad for coming on last week and filling in for me. I really appreciate it. He did a great job. He's got a little bit of a more dulcet tone than I've got. He's got that deep southern voice that I just don't seem to have. But yeah, I wanted to say thank you to him for doing that. We have to work on his pronunciations of a few things. I was listening and I was like, Brad, your pronunciations are a little weird on some of the team names, but I'm just giving him a hard time. I really appreciate it. What have I been up to? I have been busy with work for the most part. Honestly, that's why we really haven't had time to do it. I haven't gotten to watch many games lately because I've been working for most of them. And well, this past weekend, I had my cousin Sarah's wedding in Southeast Missouri, so I took the weekend off work and headed down there for that. And Sunday, I came back. I don't know if you guys can tell. My voice is a little weak. I went to the St. Louis Battlehawks XFL home opener, and I had an absolute blast. It was rowdy. It was fun. And I was screaming. I missed going to the Dome on Sundays. I missed American football in my life on Sundays, and to be able to go and watch a football game at the Dome in St. Louis and get my ritual back a little bit felt amazing. And I was screaming a lot, and I had an amazing time. And so, I mean, nothing a whole lot. And then today, obviously, I watched the game, but nothing crazy. But I'm back, and I'm glad to be back.
So I was saying that we might be the jinx, because the last time you and I did a podcast was after the Sheffield United game where we lost 1-0, where we should have drew 1-1
VAR.
Because of VAR. Yeah. And then I was at the Bournemouth and Gillingham matches, which I said, I think, last podcast. So really, the last time we did a podcast was almost, let's see, that would have been the 10th of January. It's now February 24th. So, and in that span,
6 weeks.
We have not won a single match, not in the FA Cup, not in the league. So hopefully with us coming back, we'll maybe bring a win against Southampton on Saturday.
And we have a grand total of 5 whopping points since Christmas. 5. Rock bottom of the Premier League. 5 points since Christmas, which is David Moyes winning is what I do. 5 points since Christmas. So, yeah. I don't know what to say about that. The Bournemouth game's been his only win, that and the Gillingham game. So
maybe I'm the good luck guy. Anyone wants to pay for a flight back to England, let me know, please.
Yeah, I'm trying. I think I'm going to get to go in June. I think the Cardinals and the Cubs are playing at London Stadium.
You're going to MLB game.
I think so. I haven't booked my flights or anything, but me and my friend were looking at that being the date, and then being able to be over there for the Euros. Maybe I probably won't get to go to a Euros game. I'm guessing because of tickets, but maybe for a rando, if there's a lower group stage game, maybe. But England, I definitely won't be able to get a ticket to. But yeah, that would be, I think it'll be nice not to go during West Ham season, so they don't have to ruin my trip.
It's funny. One of the things that we talked about maybe 2 months back, thank goodness we didn't book anything. We talked about going either for Newcastle away or Burnley at home
Yeah, and I wanted to do that.
Well, we can't now. Maybe you could have, but for me, I usually only come over for the weekend. So I fly out of New York on Thursday nights and get there Friday morning. Or if I'm pressed on time off, I go Friday night, get there Saturday morning, go straight to the game. However, at this time, they just moved the Newcastle game to Friday night. I believe that was today. Oh,
that's
true.
Yeah, that's right. That
so
is right.
Not only getting into London on Friday, I'd have to get myself all the way up to Newcastle and then stay the night. Because I read an article, the last train from King's Cross is 9 o'clock in the evening, and it's an 8 p.m. start, so that'll be a little bit tight.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't even think about that, but you're absolutely right. But yeah, I think I can only get one trip in this year, and for me, if I'm only going once, I want to go for more than 3 days, especially as I have half my family that lives there. I'd like to get in a little bit of time. My grandparents from England are here. That's why I've been so busy, is because I've been trying to get in as much time with them, because I don't get to see them, but at the most once a year. So I've been trying to maximize opportunities with them. And but yeah, if I go in June, I think it should be nice. Get to see some good international competition. And then, I mean, how many times is a St. Louis team going to get to play in West Ham Stadium? I mean, probably never. So I think that I have to go at least try to do. And I think I have some connections for tickets. If you do have connections for tickets to that game, please hit me up, because I would be very interested. But I think I'm going to get it covered and be all good to go. But if you have tickets and you're wanting to share with your boy, hit me up.
Yeah, that would be incredible. I thought about going last year and just couldn't swing it, and I definitely can't go this year. I just bought a new car on Friday, so I am out of trips for the rest of the year. I'm thinking about, if it comes down to it, I might come back to England for the Villa game on the final game of the season, which could be absolutely massive. The way
I hope it's not, but yes.
Well, I hope it's wrapped up before then. Absolutely, but
no. But it could be the biggest game of the year. If one of us needs a point or three to stay up, that would be
goal differential.
Gosh, I don't think my heart can take it. I really don't. Today, my heart went through all sorts of roller coasters. And but yeah, we'll get into the game in just a second.
I will say, to be fair, because I did throw out the word goal differential, if you told me that we would have got out of City and Liverpool away at -3, I mean, that's not bad at all. I really wish we would have went for it on Wednesday night against City and not sat back and played the goal differential game, but we really went for it today, and it showed that we can score goals and actually attack. I mean, yeah, one of them was off a corner, but they played all right today. I was pretty happy with the performance. And I'm going to steal your thunder, because you said it perfectly in our group chat earlier. We don't care. Well, we do care. You know, it's not about winning or losing. It's playing hard and trying. And that effort that they put in today was completely different from what we saw on Wednesday.
Yeah, it was a total night and day difference. And I said this when I saw the lineup. So first, we see the lineup, and Ngakia starts at right back. And first, I got a couple of people who messaged me or commented. I put a poll out on our Twitter feed asking, who would you rather see at right back? And the caveat should have been, if only these two are available for selection. So I said, would you rather play Antonio at right back or Zabaleta at right back? I got all the replies saying, oh, Ngakia, start the kid. I was like, that wasn't the question. The question was, if you could only pick two between these two, who would you play? I was just curious. And Ngakia, I was really happy to see on the starting lineup. He may just have solidified his place as a number one right back for West Ham United, because I think he looked better than Fredericks has all season today. Agreed. At right back. His touches, he was so cool, calm, and collected on the ball. I mean, there were times where he had two men on him, and he did a little sidestep and shimmied him off and then completed the pass. And for that, defensively, he made I don't think he did anything wrong today. So, go ahead.
On top of cool, calm, and collected, though, with his passing, I thought he was very, very smart in some of his clearances as well. I felt like he played it out of the back when he was supposed to, and he cleared it out no-nonsense when he was supposed to. So I thought he had an extremely, extremely strong performance for even – I know we allowed three goals, but I liked what I saw from him today. Sure, he made one or two little spots mistakes, but I didn't think it was anything absolutely ridiculous that may have not gotten exposed against Southampton or another mid-table to lower table side.
Yeah, and then the other change from the Man City game was Felipe Anderson was back. I really was hoping Jarrod Bowen would start in that position. I don't get it. I don't understand why you wouldn't play him. I mean, I guess the logic is that you don't want to kill his confidence against the big teams. I don't understand how that would work. But for me, you paid 20-odd million for him. Get him in there. Let him play. And you can see he was making runs that I have not seen all season apart from Mikael Antonio. At that one, at the end of the game, mm-hmm. we're going to get to the end of the game, but that one pass where Antonio played Bowen in, it's finally nice to see a player who is asking for the ball, who's about to challenge the back line, to challenge the offside trap. And it, I haven't seen that run made all year. And when I saw it, Antonio played the perfect pass. And Bowen, to be fair, he did quite well. I think if the goalkeeper was 3 inches shorter, he chips it, and it has a shot at going in the back of the net. So I think Bowen looked electric when he came on today, and that was exciting. So the lineup for me, I was disappointed to see Bowen not in the lineup, but I was glad to see that he went with Anderson instead of Lanzini, because I don't understand why Fornals isn't getting time. But
the killing of the confidence is bullshit. To me, it's absolute bullshit. Because let me tell you what. The way that Bowen played in the last two games gave us something completely different than some of the other players that we have that started. And you know what? Maybe he plays poorly and loses confidence, which is the argument. But maybe he rises to the occasion. Maybe he comes out and is an absolute game changer that we didn't even know that we had.
Well, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
So you don't know. So for anyone saying, well, you don't want to kill his confidence, or maybe he rises to the occasion, and I think the confidence thing is bullshit.
Well, if you're Jarrod Bowen, the two teams you want to get out there and show yourself against is Man City and Liverpool. I mean, that would be the teams that I'd be geared up, ready to be playing. And instead of we're playing an academy kid at right back instead of a guy from Hull City from the Championship who you think you gotta ease into the Premier League, yeah. And you're throwing Ngakia into the deep end. I think that logic is defied.
It's bullshit,
there.
Man. Exactly. You're right. You got an academy kid playing right back. And then, we got to ease this other guy into the system. Nah, I don't agree with that whatsoever.
He has to start next week. Certainly,
100%. And so does Fornals. Fornals came in and made a difference.
Yeah, Southampton, that is it's the biggest game that I can think of probably since our last relegation season in terms of like importance on in getting 3 points. I think the Southampton game is crucial to our season. That – I know you were saying a while ago, must win for a game. I think Brighton, maybe you said must win.
I think it was the Brighton game that I said that.
I am saying now, if we lose this game against Southampton, we're down. It's that we're down. If we can't beat Southampton at home, I don't know what to say. Now, our fixtures at the end of the season do let up a little bit. That's our shot to make some points,
but by then it could be gone. If we don't pick up points this weekend against Southampton, you know, we have Arsenal away, Wolves, Tottenham, Chelsea. And Newcastle gave us hell. So, I mean, I don't even care if the fixture list is light. We've played poorly all season. You know, so it's really, really time for them to step up and turn this around. Because Newcastle we lost. Let's see, what did we do against Burnley earlier in the season? We lost to Burnley. Yeah. You know, Watford we did win 2-1, I believe, right? We did early, beat United, yeah. But we drew Villa. And United's at Old Trafford. So sure, the fixture list eases up a bit, but if we're not getting results against Brighton, against West Brom, in the cup, against Everton, against Sheffield, against Palace, I mean, I don't know where it doesn't even matter if it lets up.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get into the game a little bit. Fabianski for the first goal. I mean, he makes that save 98 out of 99 times, I think, and he gets a solid hand to it, just goes right above his hand. And I didn't seem like people were questioning it at first. When I saw it go in, I was like, what on earth was that? He saves that almost every single time. And so disappointed. I thought that was game over, though. I had written us off then. I was ready to walk out and just be like, okay, I don't need to watch the rest of this because we're going to get absolutely railed here. But great cross from Alexander Arnold. I thought Crespo did really well to recover and get out and try to close the cross down. And then the header comes in, and it's just a fluke. I mean, I think Fabianski saves that most of the time.
I know we'll get into the other ones, but I need to say this as a whole. We let in 3 cheap goals today. We let in 3 cheap goals today. And against any other team, we probably, they may have missed one of those chances and been like, ooh, right? You know, we gave the number one team who hasn't, what, lost in 53 or some crazy stat, 54, now with the win, I don't remember, or at home, whatever the stat is, it doesn't matter. It's not a Liverpool podcast. The point of the story is, against those top teams, you give them anything and they will punish you. You know, they had 24 opportunities and I believe 8 or 7 on target. But the 3 goals that they gave away today, that West Ham gave away, were shocking. I was very, very disappointed with the goalkeeping today. I love Fabianski. I think we need to rally behind him. But, man, was that something.
Yeah, I was just hoping to see the players, and maybe they did, I don't know, but I was hoping to see some of the players run over to Fabianski, lift his chin up, give him a hug, a slap on the back, and say, we're right behind you. Because, let's be honest, without Fabianski for the rest of the season, I think we'd be going down without a question. I still think there's a very, very, very big chance we go down this season. But without Fabianski, no question, we'd be down. So we're going to need him, and the boys have to be right behind him. The fans need to be right behind him. I think we will. I do think there are going to be some morons on Twitter slating Fabianski. Clearly, everyone in the world knows that this game is on Fabianski. Everyone.
He's been our most consistent player all season. So if anybody is slating him, that's ridiculous, man. You know, sure, you're not immune from criticism. I saw somebody on Twitter today say, what, we can't criticize people now? Sure, you can make a comment. Not that I'm the Twitter police. But to really rail this guy who's been our savior in so many games of this already poor season, I think you need to check yourself.
Yep, so stick behind him. And one thing we kind of glazed over, we didn't glaze over, we completely skipped over it. The protest before the game, I thought it looked good.
Oh, I was going to save that for the end because I figured that'd be a longer discussion.
Okay, we can get there at the end. That's fine. We can save it for the end. And then going into our equalizer, we get a corner. We finally score off of a corner. It seems like we never, ever do. Diop gets his head on it. Good header.
Rised up.
Allison maybe could have done better, maybe could have saved it, but I don't give a shit. It went in 1-1. I'm absolutely going berserk in the pub with the 3 or 4 other West Ham fans in there, and I couldn't believe we actually scored a goal. I was shocked. We had a shot on goal, and it went in.
Yeah, you're telling me. I was sitting in the office. Absolutely. Thank God I have my own office with a door I can shut. I was pretty loud, banging on the desk in excitement. I was buzzing. It was just nice to see a different attack. Like, yeah, it was on a corner, but man, it felt good that we actually scored. I know it sounds corny, but it felt good to celebrate again.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, what our last goal was seemed probably over a month ago against the Brighton game, but still
Brighton
we haven't
game
played
the first. Yep.
We haven't played in forever. Besides Man City, and then, yeah, so good to finally get one, and I thought we would just sit off of them, and we did immediately after that, but we were still attacking, which I thought was the most promising thing to take away from this game, is it was totally different from Man City. The Man City game, I just want to briefly say, the Man City game was the most appalling game I've ever seen in my life. I can't think of a more negative setup. Even under Sam Allardyce, I can't think of a more negative setup than what Man City was. That 0-0 against Chelsea, at least we got a result out of it. That Mourinho 19th century football game. Go ahead.
I want to bring up I have the stats up here for your appalling game of the year. Well, ever. So the possession was 77-23, which is not surprising.
That flatters us. I think that flatters us, yeah.
The accurate passes, this is according to the FotMob app that you got me on. Absolutely love that shit. 822 accurate passes to 178.
Yeah, that's...
So keep that in mind.
Not a single one shot on target for us. Not one.
2 shots off target, none on target.
So, I mean, I'm so flabbergasted by that game, I don't even want to talk about it, but I think that game is an insult to every single West Ham fan on the face of the earth, and the biggest insult goes to the hard-earned people, the hard-working people that traveled up on a midweek to go watch that absolute shocking performance. The manager's to blame for most of it. But I tell you what, the players looked content to just throw in the towel and be done with it and just write it off. I think the right thing to do for that game, I never say this, I never say refund the money, but I think the West Ham fans were owed their money back that day, because the West Ham fan, the West Ham team and manager couldn't be bothered to go out there and at least try. We didn't even – Jared Bowen came on for 3 minutes at the end of the game, and that was
slap
the only –
in the face.
Yeah, I'm still upset by it. I was at work. I didn't get to see it, thank God, and I wasn't livid watching it. But to do that for people traveling over 600 miles round trip and on a work night, and they got to get up and work the next day, is just an absolute piss take. And it absolutely boils my blood that they think that's okay, and that the owners are fine with it. They're never going to do anything.
Owners don't give a flying fuck.
They're not going to give refund. But the right thing to do, honestly, would have been to give everyone who went to that game their money back, because it was honestly an absolute gigantic waste of time. And
it was
so
a big
anyway,
pile of steaming shit.
I don't mean to go back to that. Let's move forward in the game.
Second
we
goal.
We still continue to press, and we get into the second half, and Pablo Fornals comes on. Let's hope Thomas Souček is okay. I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah, I thought he had a very, very
brilliant
good
in the first half. I thought he was our best player in the first half, closely followed by Ogbonna. I thought Ogbonna, probably my man of the match, Angelo Ogbonna, I think, because he didn't put one foot wrong in the game. Not a single thing did he do wrong. Go ahead.
Like when he stopped Salah, I thought he was beat. You know, when Salah was going down the line there. I mean, he beat him to the ball and made a great tackle on the ball. Didn't give up the penalty on that diving prick. So, you know, I thought Ogbonna was strong. I thought the defense, despite the three goals, I really do think that they played a strong, solid game against the top defense. I mean,
yeah,
the
not,
offense in the league. Excuse me.
Not one of those goals is on the defending.
No, not at all.
Not a single one. You could argue all three of them are on the goalkeeper.
The third, there could have been some cover or denial of the, but it was off a deflection. So even if we blame Fabianski, I think he made the wrong decision to come out. But it's easy for me to say behind a podcast mic and not off a deflection in the cop end of Anfield. It's just disappointing that that's how it had to be. I was texting my buddy Clay, the Chelsea fan, who he was watching in his apartment. And he was like, you know they're going to score, right? And I'm like, you know, I've already accepted the fact that this is going to finish 3-2, but I'm very proud of a changed performance. And that's how I felt when I was texting him. I didn't want to say – I hate to say I was giving up. Even when we were up 2-1, I thought that they would score again. I'm not going to lie. There's no point of lying. But
I leaned over after Fornals scored – I leaned over to my dad, and there's my friend Ian, who's actually a Millwall fan. He's the only good Millwall fan, Ian from St. Louis. He's a great guy. He's from Millwall or from England. Grew up a big Millwall fan. I leaned over to both of them. I said, I think we just scored too early. We scored too early. And people, we can have this debate if there is such a thing as scoring too early in a game. And obviously you want to score any time that you're given. That's not what I'm saying. But against Liverpool and Man City, I promise you there is such a thing as scoring too early, because you woke up the sleeping giant, and that's what happened. They got super lucky after that. Salah with a powder puff marshmallow of a shot that was hit with the least amount of furiosity of a Salah shot I've ever seen. And Fabianski does his best Robert Green / Roberto impression. And I could not. It almost seemed like match fixing, because I know how good Fabianski is, and I don't take that literally. I'm not literally saying he was match fixing, but to see a guy like Fabianski make one, yet two mistakes like that in a game of that magnitude, I couldn't believe it. And to go 2-2, and we didn't even really touch on Fornals' goal. Great finish.
Right, but I will say about Liverpool and making that prediction, though, I mean, today and then the last game, I would say majority of the games that they won by only one goal, they scored late, 70 minutes or more. I think I just looked back at some
85th mob. Minute plus 80 minutes or 85th minute on there. They score like every goddamn game. They're trailing or tied or lose. Yeah.
Or winning. They'll be up like 2-0 and they'll score the third, or they'll be up they'll be drawing 0-0 and they go up 1-0. I mean, this team finishes out games and they just are relentless. So, you know, I'm really, really, I will say, I can't believe I'm saying it after the Man City game, but I'm really proud of the performance today. I really am. Compared to the City game. Well, compared to majority of the season, I'm proud of what we accomplished.
You could hear it from at Anfield on the TV.
You heard the West Ham fans
singing. That's what we're saying. Like, that Man City game was absolutely atrocious, and then this game, we can tolerate losing. If we go down to the championship and every performance is like that till the end of the season, we're going to be frustrated. But I tell you what, we're not going to be slating anything and everything like we were against those previous six games we just played. I think the effort was there. You couldn't question anyone's effort today. And kudos to Ngakia for stepping up. And I think, honest to God, I think he claimed his starting right back position. I think he's raw. He's very raw. But his pace, his ability to be calm on the ball and find the right outlet and then get up the pitch when needed, I thought he was spectacular tonight. I think Diop was good. Ogbonna was great. Cresswell had a decent game. Suchek was electric the first half. I hope he's not injured for a long time. Apparently, I just read one of our texts in our group that said Suchek has never been injured before today. Typical West Ham. The ultimate West Ham thing to happen is to buy a player who's never been injured, and then he himself ends up getting injured. But all the way through the front line, I was happy with everyone. The only one I could probably criticize a little bit is Felipe Anderson. We just know he's got so much more in his locker, and for him to just lollygag around the pitch and not really, he puts in these half-hearted tackles where he looks like he's nibbling at the defender's ankles or the attacker's ankles, and in that he just kind of lets him skate by. Then he just slowly walking back into the play.
Very frustrated with him. I was very frustrated with him because I said in our group text that we know that he has more. And that's why I can't stand watching him play, because he'll show a glimpse of, like, I think I said it, when he took on that guy at the end of the first half, when he got the pass and he did this 1-2 turn real quick and just punted it down the line and ran, you know. And for me, if we see that type of energy and explosiveness all game, he will be the 40 million pound player. But he hasn't shown it. He hasn't shown it at all. He's been more missed than hit this season. And it's disappointing because we know he has the talent. So hopefully maybe we can get something to get him going. And then in the off season, if we stay up, surround him with something that might get him going. I have no idea, man. I really don't know what's in his head or what goes behind the scenes. But he needs to step the fuck up and soon, because he is a talented player and it's just not coming off.
Yeah, we just know that he's got so much more to give. And right now he's just not showing it. So... agreed that I just hope next game I'm okay with going with the exact same starting 11 minus Suchek if he's injured. You probably are going to have to bring in Fornals probably. And then I would probably drop Anderson and bring Bowen in and try to bring, and maybe find a way to get Allaire in there. But Antonio, you can't drop Antonio.
So then you'd have to drop Snodgrass.
Yeah. And Snodgrass was good. I thought he was good today too. So I'm okay with keeping Allaire on the bench. So, but Ngakia, I think, needs to start. Bowen needs to start. And Fornals needs to start. And for those three guys to continue to play, I'd be happy.
I wish we were having a lineup conversation on who's been too good that we can't drop them, and not who sucks so much that we need to drop them and have to start somebody else. I mean, or who sucks less. You know, it's disappointing that I thought this was the year that we'd have the depth. And then in January, we don't have any right backs. Now, Ngakia is a good thing that he's emerged, but... in reality, you know, probably should have signed a right back. That would have been kind of nice.
Yeah, and then thankfully that fourth goal was ruled out correctly for offside. Sadio Mane was offside by quite a large margin too. I know we've talked with Bobby Madley.
You shouldn't have to rely on VAR for that one.
Well, the linesmen, they're told to keep their flags down. If there's even a hint, if you doubt it at all, if you're not 1 million% certain, then just leave your flag down, let the play finish out, we can look at it. And I think that's the right thing to do, because because the last thing you want to do is put your flag up and then the guys quit playing and the guys and then they quit playing and then it leads to a goal and then he's wrong, and then in which case you have to go back and give the goal, because as you saw in the Newcastle Sheffield United game earlier this season, Jonjo Shelvey scored a goal where exactly that happened, where the guys stopped playing, they continued on, he scored, and then they went back and saw that he was actually onside. So, but the guy had his flag up, so everyone stops.
Yeah.
Last thing you want.
So we get out of there 3-2. Not the end of the world performance. Disappointing if you went all the way up there on a Monday night.
Absolutely gutted.
But at the end of the day, sitting here, I'm somewhat content with the performance I saw. I would have liked to see the result held out 2-1, but I'm going to try my best, because I don't want it to ruin my week. I'm going to try my best to take the positives from this match and take it into Southampton in that must-win scenario that we said earlier. However, I think it's now time that we talk about the hottest of hot news around this club is the board. So do you want to start on the protest today?
I don't have anything to add, really. Then I was
really
glad
have any hot takes, but
the TV cameras caught it. You saw the black balloons flying.
Yep.
You saw the banners. You saw all that good stuff. I've never really came out and said my official position on it. And if I had to give one gun to my head, I would say I am bored out, and I've been bored out for most of this year, I would say. But I've never been one wearing GSB out shirts. I've never been one saying it on Twitter that they need to go. I think it's time. I miss going to the old stadium. And if we were still in the old stadium, this relegation would be, if we got relegated, I think would be annoyed and frustrated with the manager and the team more so than the owner. But right now we're just focused on the owner. And like I said a million times, we can tolerate bad football. We can tolerate losing games and going down if we were in that old stadium. But we moved to this shiny, somewhat new, brand spanking new stadium with the notion that we were going to be challenging for Europe, and it just hasn't happened. They haven't spent the amount of money even required to do that. They have spent some. They've spent over $100 million in a couple windows, but net is nowhere near where it needs to be. And the fact that we sold two strikers at the end of the summer window without replacing any of them was bad business. And they've done so many bad things. They can't stay out of the press. I'm just done with it, I think. And I'm never going to be the ones like calling for them to go online unless it comes to that point. I will attend protests if I'm there for one. I will partake in that. I think it's time for them to go, but I'm never going to be the most vocal person about that.
I think one of the things that when we talk about the board out, I've said to you personally, you know, I want them out too. I don't think that they're doing what's best for the club. I don't think that the infrastructure at the club is any good at all. But I'm also surprised, I will say. I believe I said in our group chat that I don't see the point of protesting. One thing I have an issue with protesting is I can't imagine that they really care. I always say that, you know, if I owned a company and I was making $50 million, $60 million a year, you can hate me all you want while I go home and ride home in my Rolls Royce to my $50 billion mansion. So I don't care if you're mad at me or not. And that's where I think the owners would have been. However, I will say I am a bit surprised that I think that the protests have been affecting them a bit. But back to the original point of them out, I just don't know where to go, because we haven't seen really anybody wants their evaluation. I don't want Red Bull West Ham at all, or West Ham Red Bull, or whatever the fuck that is.
No, neither do I.
No.
I don't want that
so
either.
So I just don't know what the real action is. However, that's easy for me to say behind my computer screen.
Well, for me, this is where we've disagreed. I do see, it's taken me a while to get to this point, but I do see why protests, people want protests, and why they want them. I used to be just like you. I used to think, well, it's not going to change anything, so what does it matter? But for me, I get it. we don't have to take this with lying down on our backs. We don't have to take it. We can at least do something to make them uncomfortable. We can at least do something that the Sky TV cameras can pick up on and say, hey, West Ham fans aren't happy. It's directly aimed at Gold Sullivan and Brady. It's directly aimed at them. It has nothing to do with the players. That's one thing that the media keeps getting wrong, is that we're not behind the team, which is totally 100% false. I think the players, I think they know that. I think the fans are right behind the team. We're singing songs. We try to be as positive as possible. But all of our frustrations aimed at the board. That being said, I don't think in the grand scheme of things it's going to change anything right then and right here and now. I think down the road it's a long-term plan where if you keep on them with these protests and our dissatisfaction for what's going on at this club, and the main point being, if we were still at Upton Park, we wouldn't be protesting you right now. You moved us. You took us out of our spiritual home. It may have been crumbling. It may have been not the best stadium in the world, but you could have at least put your money into it and redeveloped it versus taking the cheap option in the free stadium, paying £1 million or £2 million in rent every year. That's the bottom line that I don't think some people outside of West Ham are getting. And now we're going to voice our displeasure because you told us we're going to be challenging for Europe when, in fact, we're in a relegation scrap that we could have done it at our old stadium. This could have been – we didn't need to move for this. We didn't need to move for this. We were mediocre in our old home. Why did we come to this new stadium?
Change everything.
Because it's a cheap option. That's the only reason. It's a free stadium. It's a great business move for the owners because we don't have to put any of our own money into the stadium. We could just skate by and reap all the rewards of this new stadium. And that's what – so I get it. And let's make them feel our pressure. And they're starting to feel it. They are – They're starting to be uncomfortable by all of this media, and it shows they're suing. They were threatening to sue TalkSport because they were factually inaccurate, and they are uncomfortable as hell. And I guarantee you, they didn't feel good about what they saw on the TV today with all those Gold Sullivan Brady out, all the banners, all the black balloons flying. I thought it looked good. It was a good peaceful display. No one got hurt. I'm okay with it. So that's where I'm at.
I've come around on the protest, though, as in, like, I still don't really see the – I see the long-term plan. I just don't think it's going to have the immediate results that people want.
No one's saying that. I think there is a
lot of people saying that. I know the main organizers aren't saying that. I know that. They're smarter than that. The main organizers, they're not saying it's going to be a tomorrow thing. But there's a lot of people out there who do think that. I'm convinced. But – I will say that
if you think that, you are delusional. Not you personally,
I would say,
but whoever is thinking
no,
that.
No, I know that. I'm saying anybody who thinks that it's going to immediate this year or next year, it's going to be 3 or 4 years if something ever does happen. It's going to be. I think my main issue is I just wish it would stop being embarrassing every week. The board, not the protests or the fans. The fans are fine. I really wish we would stop Karen Brady's terrible column in the Sun. I wish they would stop suing these companies for minor slander that might be slight inaccuracies, banning fans for flags and t-shirts. I mean, it's embarrassing. It's every week. Like I said on last week's pod, David Gold liking stupid tweets. It's embarrassing. It's stupid story every single week, and it's getting old, man. I can totally deal with losing football. I said last week's pod that I don't mind the stadium, but I come from a culture that big stadiums, you know, think about it, America is all big stadiums. So you got to, you know, I can understand and completely agree if you're English and you want that on top of the players vibe. I get it. I completely agree with them. For me, that's why I don't mind the stadium. A little explanation there. We got a tweet that was like, yeah, I agree with what you guys said on the podcast. Everything except Anthony's view on the stadium. But, you know, my seat is good, and that's why I'm not bothered. But either way, long story short, rather than rambling, I just wish it would stop being embarrassing. The football is embarrassing enough. They don't need all that other bullshit off the field.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that at all. And I don't disagree with the London Stadium not being a decent stadium. I don't hate it as much as everyone else does either. But clearly, if we're not able to turn it into our own home where we can square off the pitch, and they keep saying it's going to happen, when is that actually going to happen? And we got to get rid of the little oval, too. We got to get new structure in there. bring the seats all the way down to the front, make it more home, make it a football stadium. I think if you took a poll from every Premier League club this season and you had to rank 1 to 20, what the away fans think, not the home fans, but the away fan experience going to the London Stadium, I would say we would be in at least the relegation zone of that poll, 18 to 20.
Nope, they probably fucking love it because they see their team win every week.
No, there. See, I disagree with that. I'm talking joking. About, okay, I'm good, good, I'm good. Being facetious. Yeah, because it's just a horrendous football experience if you take the game out of the equation for a fan's experience at that ground for a football game. I guarantee you we'd be in the bottom three of that poll, if not rock bottom, easily.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's so many different things. It feels like, where do you even begin? Like I said, the training ground's a laughing stock. The stadium isn't really all that great. You know, like I said, I don't mind it, but it's really not a football ground. The team's playing poorly. It just feels like everything is in this bottleneck, and it all starts with one group of people. They got to go. The only thing I could say, which is the scary thing, is we don't know what's on the other side of that door. Could be worse. Could be better. We just don't know.
I think it's a gamble we're willing to take at this point. Seeing the track record of what they've done, it's a gamble you're willing to take. Now, the problem is they're valuing us.
The valuation.
Yeah, they're valuing us way more, because if you listen to more than just a podcast, it was a very interesting episode. The financial, I can't remember the guy's name, but they brought in a football financial expert, and he was saying, from what he sounded like, I haven't done any research on him, but the guy sounded very knowledgeable, and what he said is he would value us somewhere in the 300 to 400 million pound range, which that sounds about right to me. You don't own your own stadium. You can't collect any revenue off of the stadium or any other events in that stadium, so they don't make any money off of the MLB coming to the stadium or the track or the none of that. Only for the West Ham games do they collect anything off of that, and it's minute from that. So I think that's a fair valuation. The problem with that is Karen Brady has said she values us at over $700 million. And there lies your problem. No one is going to want to buy us for that. So it'd be curious to see. It'd be curious to see if we go down, what their valuation would then become. And then would they be less likely or more likely to sell? Probably less likely, because they're going to want to recoup more money. So they would try to, I would guess they would invest probably a fair amount to try to cover up their butts a little bit to try to get us back in the Premier League.
Or the opposite. So let's say we go down, right? And their valuation's way too high, right? We go down, cuts the value of the club significantly. They might think, well, we're not putting any more money till we get back up. Because they're like, you know, why would I put money in if we're going to accidentally get stuck down here? I mean, look at Leeds, for example. They were down there for what, 9 years now? 10 years?
Yeah, maybe. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Probably longer than that, but yeah.
So it could go two ways. They could invest a lot of money and stay down there. Like, or they invest money and they come back up. So
I think it could be either way. It's definitely in their best interest to get back to the Premier League for many reasons. They've said it's a necessity to stay up. I don't know how it affects them if we go down. Obviously, we still get the parachute payment, so we're still getting the TV money from this year coming down to us, which would be our largest portion of revenue. But I think I would like to think they would try to at least get a few decent players in, keep a hold of the good ones we got, and try to come back up. But who knows? I am not a person who says I think we should go down to prove a point to the managers. I don't think I get the logic. I get what you're saying. But as a fan, you never want to go down. Obviously, no, not you.
Okay,
but
I'm just making sure we put that on the record.
No, because I've seen plenty of people, plenty of big name social media people saying that going down is what the owners deserve, which for them, they do deserve it for their shitty running of the football club. However, unfortunately, it sucks us down along with it, and we are the laughing stock for going down under this regime, and that hurts me just as much as it hurts the owners. Maybe not financially, but emotionally, it's going to suck, because here in the United States, we don't get every championship game on TV like we do Premier League. So I would guess probably get, if it's a 42 game season in the championship, 46. maybe 46.
Yep, I would say so subtract 1 is 23 times 2 is 46.
Yeah, so we probably get on TV 10 to 20 times in the year, 20 being the very, very, very high end of that. I doubt that. I would think 10 would be a safe bet.
I don't know if there's any packages you could buy. You'll have to find like dodgy streams and shit.
Yeah, that's the thing. ESPN Plus has the rights to the championship this year, and you get at least two games a weekend, if not three. And I would guess a lot of the weekends we'd probably be the main game on, if I had to guess, and because it would bring the most viewers in. And so you'd be stuck listening to the radio most of the time, which would suck. And I don't get to watch the games. I don't get to go and hang out at the pub because the pub might not have the stream on and all that. So as an American fan, it hurts me very much if we go down. Now, being said, I'm sure some fans over in England are probably excited at the prospect of getting new grounds to go to, playing more frequently so you get more away days. I mean, it's not all negative to going down, but I would –
sure, you get more away days, but I'll pass on Hull on a Wednesday night. Like that's a no for me. You can call me a fake fan all you want. If I live there, I'm not going to Hull on a Wednesday night. I'll go Hull on a weekend, but no, if I have work and stuff in the morning, I don't think so.
The point I'm trying to say is it's not all negative to going down, but I would much rather be in the Premier League than the Championship. When pros and cons are all laid out, I would much rather be in the Premier League. I think any fan would tell you that. But maybe there's a lot of people saying that they would get rid of a lot of the plastic supporters, which it probably would. Attendance would probably be cut in half, maybe third at best. It would only go down a third, and we'd be looking at, 40,000 instead of 60,000? So
it'd still be embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, it's that stadium in the Championship would not be a good thing, and you might have to start closing the upper tier or so. I don't know how that works. I mean, I got to see that going back to my XFL game I went to this weekend. The XFL, for the most part, is closed up all the upper tiers, and we sold out the lower bowl. So I don't know if you have to do something like that. I don't know, but
the thing about cutting the dead weight and going down and cutting the dead weight, I get it. We might be able to skim a lot of bad stuff out of this club, but I just don't trust the owners to fix the problems. I don't trust them, man. Even if we went down and it's in their best interest to come up and invest in the side if we go down so that we do come back up, you know, all that jazz that you were just saying. They put us in this position now. So what gives me any reason to believe that it would happen again? Think about the Blackpool year that we came back up in the Championship final. We rode second and first all season and dropped down to third, the last few weeks, mm-hmm. It felt like. So point of the story is I don't trust these cats to bring us back up at all. They've proven that this David Moyes thing has barely worked. Well, it just hasn't worked. I don't know why I said barely worked. It hasn't. You know, they've invested, quotation marks, it's bad. You know, they've invested $100 million the last two windows or whatever it is, right? Well, you invested in all the wrong areas. If you've invested all this money and we're sitting in 18th place, well, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
You clearly haven't done it correctly. That's my opinion. Sure, you can invest all the money in the world, but you're a fucking idiot if you really think that this is the way to go. Like we did a good job. Look at us. Well, your club's in shambles, bored.
Yeah, so I mean, I think we could go on for hours about this subject. I don't want to bore anyone to death because I'm sure.
I felt good after this game, and now I'm angry.
Yeah, so let's continue the positive side of things versus the negative. Up next, we do have Southampton at home, a fixture traditionally I think we've fared pretty well in. Without looking at the stats in front of me, I believe we've won or draw most of the Southampton home games. A team typically we do fare pretty well against, even away. We did beat them earlier this year away from home. That was right before their spring right up the league. They are now sitting. Can you look at the table? Where are they sitting right now?
They are sitting 12th.
12th, okay.
One thing to note, I do have the head-to-head. So we beat them 1-0 in the Premier League. 3-0 in the Premier League, 2-1 in the Premier League, 3-0 in the Premier League. So our last four games we played against Southampton, we have won. The last time we lost to them was 3-2 in August of 2017 when Arnautovic got sent off. Hey, I was at that game. Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
That yeah, was the season when I moved back to America. That was my last game.
I broke my phone and my iPad after that game when they scored the winner. Not really intentionally. I was just got up in a fluster, and my phone and my iPhone and my iPad were sitting on my lap, and I kind of brushed everything on my lap off, like, kind of hard, and it's just shattered my iPad and my iPhone, and it just added to a horrendous day. So I remember that day quite well. So hopefully we can come out, play well. Moyes hopefully can build off of this for once. I never watch his post-game interviews because I usually get really mad when I hear what he says. But I'm imagining you said, I was really proud of the lads. They did really well. You couldn't question their effort, blah, 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 blah. I think actually for once that's probably a true statement versus the Man City game where he said we played very well and he's proud of their effort. You couldn't be more wrong about that, dude. You failed us that day miserably. So hopefully he can build off that, take some positives, carry us on, and then it's an absolute six-pointer. Southampton could get sucked down into it. I don't think they will, but I think everyone from that 12th spot on down mm-hmm. is in danger of being sucked into it. And I think Newcastle are one team on form right now. Newcastle and Palace, they could very well get sucked down into it as well and be in real danger.
Yeah, I mean, Southampton only has 34 points. We're on 24, so 10 points is a lot. There's 38 games. So there's 11 games remaining. 10 points clear for Southampton. I think they're in pretty good shape, but they easily, you are exactly right. If people start getting results at the bottom here, they could easily get sucked right back down to 16th, 17th before they close their eyes, you know? I mean, even a win for us this weekend would take us 16th, which is not far off, but, you know, Brighton lose, we're... I don't know. I'm trying to be positive here. If we can pick up 3 points, we're out and we'll be okay.
Yep. So yeah. Do you have anything else you want to talk about this week?
No. I would really, really hope the there's another protest this weekend, I believe, a March protest, if I'm correct. I hope that works out well and everybody is safe from the police and the board drama. And I really, really hope that we get a result. I would like to see 3 points and us out of the relegation zone. I'm a bit nervous, but it is a must win when I said against Brighton. Well, now it's definitely a must win against Southampton.
Your final thoughts on this podcast? Yeah, I think if we lose, we're going down. And I said going into this game, I think we are
great
going down.
Positivity to finish off the pause.
I try to be positive, but honest to God, if you can't beat Southampton at home, who can you beat? And that's where I'm at this point. And I think if we lose, we are good as gold going down.
Well, they're not giving us. To be fair, you know, I keep saying, "Well, good job being positive." They haven't given us anything to be positive about. Does that make sense?
Yeah, today was slightly positive. I can take positives from this. And honestly, I do think we were going to win. And I don't say that very often when I'm feeling down in the dumps. But I think we win this game. I think it's going to be a 2-0 win. We get the clean sheet. Fabianski redeems himself, probably makes a few good saves, keeps Danny Ings off the score sheet. That's your man you got to look out for. And I think we hopefully will be out of the relegation zone come next Saturday.
Damn, this is bad podcasting, but I agree with you. I think a 2-0 win as well. A clean sheet, strong performance, and we turned the season around. Let's speak it into existence.
Just hope that the atmosphere, the fans, which I know they will be, and they'll be right behind the team, but I hope it's just get loud, get behind the team, and hopefully we can show the world that we're not here, we're not toxic, we're not causing the team any harm. We're right behind the team, and hopefully the atmosphere will be great at the London Stadium.
Absolutely. So can you finish this out on the part that I fucked up last week on and I mess up every week? That's why you do it.
Yep. So if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow me at Brawley Darbin. That's my name. You can follow Tony on Twitter at Tony Clark Dupe. If you want to follow the podcast on Twitter, follow us at West Ham Way US Pod. You guys can always send us emails or anything you want to. We have two email accounts. You can either send it to thewesthamwayusapod@gmail.com or westhamwayusapod@gmail.com. They go to the same place. And if you would, please go on and leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. That helps us climb the charts and helps us get into more people's ears, which ultimately is all I want. So signing off this week. And guys, by the way, next week I'm going to try to work on getting a couple of guests on, if not one. So that way it's not just us, and we are going to try to stay more regular, but, I'm sure you guys have heard that the West Ham Way podcast is, having some difficulties right now, and we'll try to hopefully get to talk to either Dave or X or both on the next pod and have them for you talking so you get to hear their dulcet tones.
All right, come on, you irons.
See ya.